set.
Okay, here we go. We're going live in 3, 2, 1.
Grab your mason jars. Strap on that apron. It's time for Canning with the Diva, making her mark across the globe, teaching you how to safely preserve delicious recipes. Please welcome your host, Diane Devereaux,
the Canning Diva.
Welcome. This is Diane Devereaux, the Canning Diva. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am very excited to bring to you today's show, Canning with the Diva. We are going to talk about natural thickening agents. And for those of you familiar with home canning, that can be anything from pectin. It could be something like natural food sources, as in apples and citrus. And of course, my canning gel. So we have a fun segment in store today. I have a lot of information to cover, and of course, I am not leaving you hanging. We have some delicious recipes to go over, so get out your pen and paper and get ready for Canning with the Diva. All right, so let's begin here. Pectin. Pectin is probably the most widely used thickening agent within home canning, and it's natural. It does come from a food source. It's usually taken from the rinds of lemons and oranges. And the thickening component from that citrus is then comprised into a powder, and we use that often in jams and jellies and sometimes some pie filling. And it is what bonds and creates that gelled capacity for these various types of foods. Well, pectin is a phenomenal and, again, a widely used thickening agent, and it comes either powdered or liquid. The only problem that we run into is it cannot withstand a lot of temperature at a high rate for a very long period of time, and it will break down in the presence of acidic food. And for those of you that are familiar with canning, strawberries, for instance, have the highest amount of acid. And it's funny, those of you just branching out and getting into home canning and preserving, when we talk about acid, we don't talk about acid in the terms of flavor. We talk about it in the terms of a pH value. Well, it still blows my mind that this adorable, cute little red strawberry has far more acid than, for instance, a habanero pepper. So it's quite phenomenal the ways in which these foods were created on this pH scale. And jams and jellies often incorporate what? That cute little red strawberry that's power-packed full of acid. And that is why a lot of times those of you that have made your strawberry jam using powdered pectin have gotten extremely frustrated because you're following the recipe to a T, you're stirring all of the foods, you've blended the sugar, you've added the pectin, and still after processing your jam is runny. And so I don't want you to get discouraged. If anything, today you're going to learn that there are a variety of different things that you can do and a variety of different products to help thicken your home canned goods so that you don't get discouraged, but that you wind up with the most delicious tasting jam that is sure to please your family, your friends, and even if you decide to give it as a gift to your neighbor. Okay, so powdered pectin is one of those wonderful natural thickening agents. And yes, you will see that 9 times out of 10 in most of your recipes. If, however, you are struggling to get your jam to set or you feel that pectin just isn't cutting it, oftentimes individuals would add double the amount. So if your recipe says 1 box of powdered pectin, to get your jam to work, people would start adding 2 or sometimes 3 boxes, depending on the size of the batch, to get it to the consistency that makes them feel comfortable calling it jam or preserves. Well, one of the thickening agents I want to talk to you about today is clear gel. Clear gel is often found in recipes as well, and I must say I've been very, very blessed to finally find a source, and actually I'm providing that source, because I too was in your boat. When you saw a recipe that called for clear gel, as did I would go on the hunt to find this product, and I could not find it anywhere. I went store hopping, I was all over the internet, and typically where I would find it would be a small internet company that I didn't know where or who they really were. I had to trust what I was reading online, or I was finding it on Amazon. Well, clear gel is a registered trademark, so I learned very early on that I had to be very careful about where I purchased this from. Typically, this product is only available from the manufacturer or those that have been given, you know, granted permission to sell it from the manufacturer. Well, guess what size this clear gel came in? Came in 25-pound bags. Now, I am an avid canner. I can all year round, but even I don't think I could possibly use 25 pounds of clear gel and still, you know, keep it within that best use by date. So I went on the hunt for a reliable source, and I frankly just decided, you know what, the best thing for me to do, seeing that I do have a culinary background, I have been canning since I've been 13 years of age, and I'm familiar with the commercial kitchen processes as I'm safe certified, I decided to get my license from the state of Michigan so that I can repackage clear gel into more manageable size containers, and I have rebranded it canning gel. The fun thing with that is now you're getting a pound and a half, which believe it or not, you could probably use within one season of canning. But then I got my hands on, and this is what I love about the manufacturer, they have a cook type clear gel. The cook type clear gel can be used when you're making and baking pies, can be used when you are cooking and say for instance you're making gravy and you'd like to thicken it, or soups and stews, as well as canning. So now I can get this all done within a reasonable amount of 1 pound and a half packages, and I don't just have to use it for home canning. I'm not trying to discourage anybody from using pectin, whether that be powdered or liquid, but I'm starting to find the more and more I incorporate canning gel into my recipes, I'm able to now reduce the amount of sugar having to be used, and I don't have to gravitate towards that powdered or liquid pectin. So it's a really great source of a non-GMO, gluten-free thickening agent that you can use in more ways than one, obviously. And I love that I can reduce the amount of sugar. So take for instance, strawberry jam. Most traditional strawberry jam recipes require you to have on hand 7 cups of sugar in addition to those berries. Well, the reason is because they're relying on that sugar to create some of that gelling capacity in addition to the maybe 1 box of pectin the recipe calls for. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at this recipe and the finished product going, holy cow, I basically just flavored the sugar with strawberries, and now I'm expected to spread this all over my scone or my bread or my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I don't gravitate towards sweets naturally. That's just not who I am. But my children obviously do, and I don't want to give them so much sugar that we're forgetting about the nutrients and the actual fresh, sweet flavor of the particular berry that we're you know, eating. So I'm very happy to say that canning gel, aka clear gel, is a product that I can now make that same batch of strawberry jam using only 1.5 cups of sugar, and now I'm relying on the berries to sweeten up the jam. And the only thing that I'm catching with this is because I'm not now relying on the sugar to fill all those jars, I get less jars with the traditional jelly, okay, the recipe, if you will. So I have created several recipes that I'll share with you all today to where now we can increase the count of the berry itself, lessen the sugar, add the canning gel, bam, now we have enough half pints of this delicious jam on hand, and we know that we can serve it to our family, our children, our friends, without feeling guilty that it's completely overloaded with sugar. And for those of you that have to watch your sugar intake, how phenomenal is that? You can actually now enjoy having a jelly or a jam on hand without feeling guilty or having to check your blood sugar levels because you know jam traditionally has a ton of sugar. So very exciting stuff. All right, now back to talking about these natural thickening agents. What I love to do is incorporate one of the natural thickening agents into a recipe so that I don't have to use any thickening agent that would be processed, such as the canning gel or the powdered pectin. What I'm getting at is utilizing apples in my recipes to create that nice gelled consistency and capacity. So let's take, for instance, a recipe I just created. It's called rhubarb apple chutney. Now, I know that sounds unique, and you're kind of, I know you're listening and going, what is that going to taste like? Well, what I'm doing is I'm taking the tartness of the rhubarb, I'm using the apples to be the thickening agent, and I am using some spices, some of the warm fall type spices like cinnamon and allspice to give it a nice warm tone. And in this recipe, I've also added dried cranberries. So lots of fun. Now that I've given you an idea of what's in this, I'm sure you're already thinking of all the wonderful ways in which it could be utilized. So it has a tart yet sweet flavor because, again, we're not having to rely on a lot of sugar. The warm tones are perfect for crepes and pastries. You can fill cupcakes with it, but you can also use it along cheese trays, alongside meat. So if you are filling, let's say you're making a pork loin for dinner, you can stuff that pork loin with the rhubarb apple chutney, or you can serve it alongside a traditional pork loin or pork chops, and now the flavors are working together splendidly. So let me go through the recipe briefly, and you can then see how this natural thickening agent, being apples, works simultaneously with all of the other ingredients. All right, so let's get started here. 5 cups of apples. Now, the apples need to be chopped or diced. They just don't want to be so large that they're overpowering all the rest of the fruit. And in this particular recipe, I suggest you gravitate towards more of a baking hearty type of an apple, such as a Spartan, a Golden Delicious, or maybe even a Johnny Gold apple. Gravitating towards those are going to help the apple retain its shape instead of becoming mushy like applesauce. Okay? Also, you'll need 4 cups of diced rhubarb. When you're preparing your rhubarb, you want to make sure that you have no leaves anywhere near the food source. The leaves of the rhubarb are poisonous, and you do not want to have them anywhere near your cutting board, your food tray. So make sure when you're cleaning your rhubarb, run it under the sink, get all of the dirt off, cut both ends off, and discard of everything, and wipe your cutting board down prior to chopping up and dicing the stalk of that rhubarb, just to be safe, okay? Now, you'll also want zest of 1 lemon, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 1 cup of dried cranberries. And when I measure up these cranberries, because they're dried, I really pack that 1 cup full. Sometimes I'll even make it a little heaping. There's enough acid in the cranberries that I know I'm not distorting the recipe, so go ahead and give it some go. It is going to make it delicious and colorful. You'll also want to have on hand 4 cups of raw organic sugar. Last but not least are the spices. So you want to have at least 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon and 1 teaspoon of nutmeg. Now, I have also added a half a teaspoon of allspice to swap out the nutmeg. So I leave that up to you. And you can even add it too if you want to add all three as a flavor combo. The one benefit to home canning and having to stay within the pH value of a particular recipe is dried herbs and spices do not affect the pH value. So you don't have to worry about that food spoiling, for instance. You can add it, whatever dried seasonings that are working with your flavor palette or what your family prefers to eat, and you won't upset the recipe. So feel free to incorporate some allspice or swap out the nutmeg with a half a teaspoon of allspice. Okay, now to make this recipe, now that you have all of your ingredients together, I suggest getting a large stainless steel stock pot. You want to combine the apples, the sugar, and the rhubarb. And I want you to then bring it to a boil on a medium-high heat. Now, depending on the thickness of your stock pot, mine, for instance, are extremely thin. So when I bring it to a boil, I have to bring it to a slower boil and stir it constantly. If the base of your stock pot is a little bit thicker, you can probably get that going a little bit faster using that medium-high heat and then stir it frequently. So again, depending on your stock pot, get that going, bring it to a simmer after it's been to a boil, and allow it to simmer gently for about 15 minutes. The goal here is to reduce it down. We want some of that liquid to escape from the rhubarb. We want the sugar to bond with the apples and the cranberries, as well as the rhubarb, creating a gelled-like capacity and consistency. Now, that's what the 15 minutes is for. After that 15 minutes, go ahead and add your cranberries, your cinnamon, your nutmeg, and if you're using allspice, this is when you would add that. Now continue to boil it gently, because again, we want to reduce it down. So everything will have a certain level of moisture to it. We want to bring that down because we are not using pectin and we're not using canning gel. What we're doing is we're relying on the apples to be our natural thickening agent. So give it another 15 minutes on a slow simmer or a gentle boil and reduce that down. Once it's been reduced down, ladle this hot chutney into sterilized hot jars, leaving a half an inch of headspace. Now, for those of you new to canning, you want to have a headspace measuring tool. You're welcome to go to my website if this is something that's not in your canning arsenal. My website is at canningdiva.com. Head to canningdiva.com/shop. And I have a plethora of products there that you are welcome to purchase. I offer free shipping. And the benefit is having a headspace measuring tool on hand, oh my goodness, your lids will seal. I don't think people understand how important headspace is when they're canning. And if you don't pay mind to the headspace and use a tool to properly measure it, your lids won't seal. So by having this $2 tool on hand, it's like a no-brainer, because you can now properly measure your headspace, your lids are going to seal, and any failures you've been used to experiencing will be slim to none. Now, for those of you that are making the recipe right along with me, not to worry. Don't stop the recipe and head to the website. Head to the website afterwards, of course. But grab a ruler, just a standard ruler, preferably a plastic one, because in that way you can wash it, make sure it is clean, and you can use a ruler to measure the headspace. What you're trying to accomplish is a half an inch of no product, just a half an inch of air, measuring from the top of the rim to the food source. Once you've done so, remove any and all air bubbles. Now, the cool thing with this headspace measuring tool that you can find on my website at canningdiva.com is the headspace measuring tool doubles as an air bubble remover. So you turn it around, you flip it over, and what you're trying to do is slip that into the food source along the side of the jar to remove any air bubbles that may have been created while you were ladling that in. Now, once you've done so, make sure that you maintain that half an inch of headspace and adjust it if necessary. And it's so funny to me. So for those of you that have canned, you're gonna laugh right along with me. For those of you that are new to this craft, you're gonna be like, what? Until you experience it yourself. And then you're gonna think of me and you're gonna chuckle. So you're filling your jars, you're ladling it all in, you measure your headspace, but then you go, oh my goodness, I totally forgot to remove the air bubbles. So you go back around through. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at your jars and you're wondering why they are so much more empty than when, you know, you first started this process. It's because air pockets form and it's like you don't even see them. You don't even know where they've come from. Next thing you know, what used to look like a half inch airspace is now, our headspace is now down to like an inch. And you're like, holy cow. So when in my recipes, for those of you that are going to start taking a look at canningdiva.com, there's a whole section on recipes. I also sell an ebook that has 38 recipes, plus it's a seasonal guide. So as you're getting familiar with me and we're growing together, take a look at the headspace. Take a look at things such as, you know, removing that air. You're going to see in all of my recipes, I'm going to say adjust the headspace if necessary. And this is what I mean. For those of you that went back through and you removed all the air bubbles and now you have a whole, you know, inch, got to go back through with that ladle in your funnel and add a little bit more so that you're now within that half an inch of headspace. Once you've done so, take a warm washcloth dipped in vinegar, wipe the jar rim and the screw bands, because you want to remove all that sticky residue, any seasonings that may have gotten on that rim of the jar. Get all of that off of there, because you're going to then place your sterilized lid and ring atop each jar and then hand tighten. Go ahead and pop these bad boys in a water bather. Cover them with about an inch of water. Now, half pints you're going to process for 10 minutes and pints you're going to process for 15 minutes. And the biggest thing I can leave you with today is to make sure that you do not start that timer until the water is at a full rolling boil. So super exciting. This is an excellent way of how you utilize food as your natural thickening agent. Now let's go back through the ratio so that you understand what I'm saying. The 5 cups of apples is what is bonding together your 4 cups of rhubarb and your 1 cup of strawberries. Everything else is gonna start breaking down, such as your sugar, your lemon juice, and your seasonings. So it's these apples that not only give it flavor, but make it thick and delicious. All right, so now we've talked a little bit about all three of the types of natural thickening agents. There's pectin, using the food, and then of course the canning gel. And I know that I totally got you excited of how can I reduce the sugar in my jam. So I will not leave you hanging. I promise we're gonna talk right now about how to use canning gel when making jams and jellies. But let me give you some advantages here to having this canning gel on hand. All right, canning gel is clear in color when it's cooked. And I think that's why the manufacturer originally named it clear gel, because it is clear. It won't distort the actual food source. So for those of you, like say for instance, you're gonna use cornstarch, okay, at home when you're making soups or gravies. Well, think about what the food now looks like after you've added that cornstarch. Your gravy now is a kind of a lighter brown instead of what it started out to be. You know, it used to be a nice, gorgeous, dark, deep, rich brown color. But then you added your cornstarch and what did it do? It became like a pastel brown, if you will. So the benefit of having clear gel, or AKA canning gel, is it stays clear in color and it won't distort the food color. It has excellent stability, it remains smooth, and it doesn't clump up like a cornstarch would. It works very, very well around highly acidic foods, and it can withstand high temperatures. Plus, it can also withstand the heating and cooling and reheating, which most pectins typically cannot handle. That's when they start breaking down. Now, I know I got you excited and you're asking yourself, what is canning gel? What is it made of? What is it comprised of? Well, it too is also from corn, but it's from non-GMO, non-hybrid corn seeds, so that's a plus. Also, it is gluten-free because it does not come from a source in which has been genetically modified or manipulated. So, essentially it is corn maize that has been broken down to now withstand high temperatures and highly acidic foods. That's all it is. So, being non-GMO and gluten-free are probably the two biggest selling points, because we are now living in a society where individuals are fighting celiac disease. They have to watch their gluten intake, and for many of those that are suffering with the disease, they can't have gluten at all. So this is an excellent way to remove any store-bought cornstarch or thickening agents that you typically would use in cooking. You can now replace it with canning gel, and you can use it in cooking, baking, and home canning. Okay, so let's dive into a couple fun recipes. One of my favorite recipes that I'm excited to share with you is called just basically a less sugar berry jam recipe. I didn't want to retype this same recipe over and over and over again utilizing different berries. So what I tell individuals to do is say, okay, it's a berry jam, so anything that ends in the word berry, you can go ahead and create this exact same recipe using whatever berry that might be. So if you prefer strawberry jam over raspberry, or blueberry over mulberry, anything that ends in a berry, have at it. This is going to be a delicious recipe. It's simple, and now we're using less sugar than traditional home canning recipes. All right, so what you need to do is you need to start with 4 cups of berries, and what you want to do is have them crushed. So you'll be surprised how much they mush down when they are crushed, because it just blows my mind. It took me almost 4 quarts to get 4 cups of crushed berries. And as I was, you know, mashing them, you just do them in small groups. Let's say, for instance, strawberries. I think this is the one where it just amazed me, because a berry is huge, a strawberry. I'm mashing it, and it just got mushed down to like nothing. So I would have a cup of berries in the measuring cup, like whole strawberries, and by the time I mash them down, it would be like a half a cup. So make sure you have enough berries on hand to yield 4 cups of crushed berries. You also want to have 1/4 cup of lemon juice, 7 tablespoons, of canning gel. And then what I love about this is it's sugar to taste. You want to at minimum have at least 1 cup of sugar in the recipe, but you can go upwards of 1.5 cups, maybe 2 cups, depending on how sweet you like it. But you'll be surprised, once you start eating an actual jam or preserve that is flavored with the berry itself and not 7 or 8 cups of sugar, you're gonna gravitate towards wanting the actual berry flavor instead of all of the sweetness from the sugar. It's like our bodies start to get tricked. We know what a refined sugar tastes like. Once we start having the benefit of a natural sugar, that's what our body's gonna start gravitating towards, because that's how we are supposed to eat. So let me run through this real quick again for you. For those of you taking notes, the less sugar berry jam starts with 4 cups of crushed berries, 1/4 cup of lemon juice, 7 tablespoons of canning gel, and up to 1 to 1.5 cups of sugar. All right, now, it's an entirely different way to create this recipe than those of you that have gravitated towards maybe balls, strawberry jam or blueberry jam. This is going to be fast and furious, which frankly, in today's busy lifestyle, I kind of appreciate this recipe, because I don't know about you, but I don't have 45 minutes to stand at the stove and stir something. I think that's why some manufacturers have come out with a berry making machine, because it does all the stirring for you. Well, hey, I'm gonna save myself $60 and I'm just gonna go this route, not to mention less sugar. So, okay, you're gonna start by adding the lemon juice to the berries. So once they're crushed, add that 1/4 cup of lemon juice. Now, take 1/4 cup of the sugar and combine the 7 tablespoons of the canning gel and simply mix it. Mix it well, because what you wanna do is you wanna allow the sugar granules to blend very well within that canning gel. Now, once you've done so, add that mixture to the berries. Now you're gonna bring it to a boil, stirring it constantly. Once it's to a boil, add the rest of the sugar and set your timer for 1 minute. You only need to boil it for 1 additional minute. Once you've reached that 1 minute time, take it off of the heat and pour it into your half pint jars. Your jars should be sterilized, because we're only gonna process this for 10 minutes. Leave 1/4 inch of head space, and again, remove any air bubbles so that you can keep that 1/4 inch of head space. Wipe your rims using a washcloth dipped in vinegar, and make sure to get those screw bands as well. Now, cover these with water, about 1 inch of water in your water bather, and process them for 10 minutes. And remember, you do not set that timer until the water is at a full rolling boil. For those of you that have sent me questions asking me, okay, Diane, I love this recipe, I've seen it on your website, but can I freeze it? My kids love freezer jam. Well, the answer is yes. And that is the other benefit of using canning gel. It works well for cooking, for baking, for canning, but it also works well for freezing. So for those of you that would prefer to have freezer jam versus traditional jam that sits on your pantry shelf, you can create this exact recipe, fill your jars, process them for the 10 minutes. Once everything has cooled, okay, you can now pop that in the freezer. And now you're still getting the benefit of freezer jam, but you still have to process it, because you want to blend all of these flavors and consistencies together. The canning gel has a very powder-like consistency. Sugar obviously is granulated. The berries are mushed and have a lot of liquid. And then we're adding additional liquid by adding that lemon juice. If we don't allow them to process for that 10 minutes, everything's gonna look hot pink. Everything is gonna be kind of powdery and granuly, like you're gonna taste the sugar granules, and that is no longer appetizing. So you have to process this recipe, allow the jar to cool, and then you can pop it in your freezer or on your pantry shelf. Now this part is exciting, because we are relying on the berries and not the sugar to fill our jars. Using the exact quantities of everything I gave you in this recipe, you're not gonna yield but maybe 3 to 5 half pints, but if you do a little bit of math and increase those quantities, sticking with the same ratios, you will now have enough jam on hand to last you a year. So typically what I like to do when the strawberries are in season is I go out and I buy a whole flat. My goal is to at least triple or quadruple this recipe so that I yield upwards of 12, maybe even 18 half pints. I love to have the jam and jelly on hand because I use it to glaze a lot of my meats with. I give it away as gifts especially, and my kids don't seem to eat it. They just, I don't know, I guess I'm blessed in the regard that, they don't do sweets as much as I guess maybe some, although I can't really say that about my daughter, that little cutie. That kid could eat sugar right out of a bowl. But I love to have the jams and jellies on hand, because when we do entertaining or we have their friends come over, I'm the mom that'll make peanut butter and jelly celery sticks. So there's got to be something on hand for everybody, and this is a really perfect berry recipe to do that with. I don't know about you, but that got me excited, and I'm already thinking about getting another flat of strawberries so I can duplicate this recipe. And I know blueberries will be in season as well. And depending on where you live throughout the nation, you can now start thinking of the fun berries that are, you know, thriving or native to your area that you can duplicate this process with. Now, for those of you that don't have canning gel on your shelf, you are welcome to purchase that at canningdiva.com. All right, now we talked briefly about some of the advantages to having this natural thickening agent on hand. The biggest advantage is something that I just touched on, being able to double, triple, even quadruple batches of jams and jellies. Traditionally, with the standard home canning and preserving methods, utilizing all of that sugar, of course, it is very difficult to do more than a batch of that particular jam at a time because, again, you run the risk of it not setting properly because that pectin will break down. Well, that is a huge benefit to using canning gel or clear gel because you can get upwards of quadrupling that batch without any problems. You can also cut a batch in half and you can still get that same gelled capacity and consistency. Another benefit that I did touch on as well is you can freeze it after it being processed. So that is huge. It is also, when you look at the grand scheme of things and how much pectin you would possibly have to use in order to get the same consistency, in a lot of ways it's less expensive than the pectin and it goes a lot further. I don't know about you, but I don't gravitate towards pectin if I need to thicken a gravy or make a pie. So there's a lot of advantages and crossover that you get with this natural thickening agent that you wouldn't with a pectin. Now, I know I sound like I'm trashing on pectin, and I'm really, really not, because I do still use it. I really wish I could find a way to alleviate it completely, but I do like having it on hand for certain recipes. One of them being liquid pectin making the jalapeno jelly. Now, for those of you not familiar with jalapeno jelly, it is absolutely phenomenal. It is a nice combination of heat and sweet. And what I love to do is make two different types of batches based on how I'm going to use it. So one of them would be just, you know, leaving the jalapenos green. The other would be to leave them on the vine a little bit longer until they turn red and making jalapeno jelly that is red so you can give it away during Christmas as gifts. So there's a lot of fun things you can do with jalapeno jelly and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't even know you could do that, let alone have it in two colors. So, hey, I'm a diva, right? When I get a pair of shoes, I'd like them in that, you know, brown and black. Or if I, I have to be a diva all the way around. So it even comes in with the food. You're gonna see it, ladies and gentlemen. You are gonna see it. All right, so now with this jalapeno jelly, the recipe that I use makes about 8 half pints. And I have found, you know, over time, that I had to increase that liquid pectin. And I, instead of just having one packet, it would take me 2 packets to get to the thickness that I wanted. And again, it's because we are dealing with high temperatures for an extended period of time and that pectin is gonna break down. Not to mention, think about having to make that liquid pectin. They actually had to heat it up to get it to its liquid form. Well, in doing so, they already kind of pre-broke it down for us. So in this recipe, to me, making that, you know, financial investment of buying 2 packages for this one recipe, it's okay. Because I love the way that it makes the jelly look. Jelly is traditionally a strained fruit liquid that is then gelled up and then eaten. Well, the jalapeno jelly, we still want bits and pieces of that, you know, the flecks of the color from the jalapeno and the peppers. And so you'll see that I'll either chop it extra fine or I'm gonna run it through the food processor because you want that contrasting color. You want the little flecks in there. It just makes it gorgeous. And it gives it a good flavor too because it's okay to nibble on a little piece of that. By the time it's gone through the processing and the, you know, it's bonded with the sugar and the bell peppers, it's phenomenal. So anyway, one of the ways in which I utilize this recipe is definitely during the holidays, or when I just have gatherings. So like I, especially in the summer, you know, we get a lot of family and friends come over. I'll soften a brick of cream cheese and I'll put the jalapeno jelly right over the top of it. I got Monica. She's here with me today. She is smiling and shaking her head going, absolutely. It is phenomenal. You just, and then you serve it with tortilla chips. I mean, you can't get any better than that. It also works well on Triscuit crackers. You can even glaze your meat with it. I'll tell you, you're going to hear this a lot from me. It is delicious. You can take what traditionally you wouldn't glaze many, like beef roasts. Well, I like to glaze my beef roasts with a contrasting jam or jelly, and this is one of those contrasting jams or jellies because it's a little heat and a little sweet, and that works well for beef. You don't want to sweeten your beef up too much. It won't taste as it should. So this is an excellent way to still keep beef tasting delicious and giving a little kick. All right, let me run through the recipe quickly for you so that you can jot this down and enjoy making it this summer as well. You want to start with 1 cup of jalapeno peppers, and you can either puree them in your food processor or chop them extra fine with a knife. Make sure you wear gloves. You'll thank me later because your fingers are going to be on fire. And it's going to take about 6 jalapenos to get to that 1 cup, 6 to 10, depending on their size. Because remember, you're measuring that cup of jalapenos pureed or chopped. You're not, you know, chopped extra fine. You're not measuring them cut large. So it's going to take quite a few. All right. Now, I tell individuals, depending on what color you're making, if you're making the green jalapeno or you're waiting for the red jalapeno, you want a contrasting bell pepper. And you're going to need about 3/4 cup of chopped fine bell pepper. So maybe use a yellow if you're going to have green jalapenos, or use a red bell pepper if you want a contrasting with the green. For my Christmas gifts, I like having the red jalapeno, the red bell pepper, because I don't want a contrast. I want everything to be red and gorgeous, because then I'm going to decorate it with something green, you know, maybe a ribbon or something that, you know, exemplifies a Christmas gift. So keep that in mind. It also works well for Valentine's Day, especially if you'd like to put a little love into a jar for your significant other. Men especially love this sweet and heat combo, so keep it all red and gorgeous and then put a really cool hunter green bow on there or something red with a heart and pink. Of course, pink because I'm the diva, so I'm going to have all kinds of pink all over the place. Pink hearts and accented it with some black, of course, but anyway. So for the rest of the recipe, now we're going to take a look at the thickening aspect as well as the keeping it safe aspect. So you're going to want to have 1.5 cups of white vinegar. Now make sure your vinegar states right on the label 5% acidity. It has to be a 5% acidic value or higher, otherwise it's not safe for home canning. So definitely make note of that. You want to have 2 6-ounce packages of liquid pectin, and now 6 1/4 cups of raw sugar. Now, for those of you that are going, raw sugar, what is raw sugar? I use raw sugar in most of my recipes. You're going to see that online at canningdiva.com. You're going to see that on Twitter and Facebook. Anytime I mention a recipe, I'm going to say raw sugar. I personally like to use sugar cane that has been minimally processed, and it still has that brown-toned molasses color to it and flavor, because I don't buy sugar that's been bleached white. However, the darker the sugar, the darker your recipe is going to look. So keep that in mind. So if you happen to gravitate more towards just the white granulated sugar, totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead and stick with what you're used to. And just know that, you know, obviously your jelly is going to be a little bit lighter, which in most cases is fine. That's what you want. If you use the darker, like sugar in the raw, which is almost pretty much looks like brown sugar, it's going to darken the color of the contents in the jar. So just be mindful of that. But now that I've gone through the ingredients, because we're using the liquid pectin, it's why we have to have 6 1/4 cups of sugar, because we're relying on the sugar as well as the pectin to do its magic. Well, I haven't modified this one yet on the stovetop, but trust me, when I do, when I find a way to incorporate the canning gel into this so that I can lessen that sugar, but yet still keep the flavor and have it not be too hot and too sweet, I will share that with you, I promise. Okay, so let's get through here the instructions, because it's pretty easy, and once you get going with this recipe, it's like bing, bang, boom. You're getting it in the jar, next thing you know, it's in the water bather, and you're done. Now for prepping, like I said, you can finely chop it with a knife or you can pulse it with the food processor. The only thing I would say to you is if you're going to use the food processor for the jalapenos or the bell peppers, don't puree it so fine that it starts to create a lot of liquid. When you pulse it and hit the button every so often, it allows you to chop it at a controlled rate so that you don't wind up with a bunch of liquid, okay? Now, once everything is prepped, mix the peppers, the sugar, and the vinegar together in a stainless steel stock pot. You want to bring it to a rapid boil on medium-high heat for about 3 minutes. Now, you do not want to scorch this. It will change the flavor and the color, and you'll have to start all over. You'll have to pitch it. So, what I suggest to do is use a heat-treated glove, like, for instance, my canning mitts. You can find those at canningdiva.com. The canning mitts are phenomenal because they're waterproof, so if you get them wet, you don't get burnt. And they withstand temperatures up to 480 degrees. And you know that when we're boiling stuff, that's 212 degrees right there. And that hurts just enough. I couldn't imagine what 480 degrees would feel like. So feel safe and secure knowing that you have, you know, a waterproof, heatproof mitt on hand. If you don't have one, I offer free shipping, so take a peek at my website, canningdiva.com. At any rate, grab what you have to keep your hands safe because you want to keep this stirring. You cannot let it just rapid boil on its own. Because of the sugar content, it's going to get like, you know, thick very fast, and all of that coating and that thickness on the bottom of your stock pot will start to scorch. So keep it moving. After that 3 minutes, add the liquid fruit pectin, and you're going to mix it well. And then you're going to boil it for just 1 minute more. So be sure to set your timer. You don't want to overboil it because, again, pectin will break down when it's exposed to high temperatures for long periods of time. So now, once that timer has gone off, get it off of the heat source, and then you want to let it stand for about 5 minutes to thicken on its own. Once it's a bit thicker, ladle it into hot, sterilized half pints. Leave a half an inch of headspace. Remove any air bubbles and adjust the headspace as necessary, and then obviously we're going to wipe those rims and screw bands with a warm washcloth dipped in vinegar. All right, so now you're going to pop these sterilized lids and rings on top of each jar, and you're going to process this in a water bath for 10 minutes. It's that simple. So now you see that I'm not anti-pectin, darn it. I love it. It does do a lot of fun things. But the more and more I'm using the canning gel, I'm gravitating more and more to the canning gel. So, you know, as I continue to develop fun recipes that'll work well, you know, using this, you know, modified cornstarch, I will share this all with you so that you too can, you know, join in on the fun, lessen the sugar, and still have a phenomenal natural thickening agent that you can feel confident eating and serving to your family and friends.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed today's episode. We have been talking all things natural thickening, especially when it comes to home canning and preserving. One of the biggest benefits that I love to, you know, emphasize when talking about this particular area when it comes to home canning is that these items are all natural. So whether you're using a natural food source such as apples or apple juice, oranges, the zest from an orange or its juice, or you're using the pectin or the canning gel, all of these items are derived from a natural food source. So it does make it beneficial to all of us that are really caring about what is going into our food and what we're going to be ingesting down the road. So I really am excited to bring to you this knowledge because we are in that berry jam making season. We're also going to be approaching, our vegetables will be coming in season here soon. And whether you're making soups or stews or relishes, adding a little touch of that canning gel or a thickening agent that comes from a natural source will help make your home canned goods that much better when it comes time to actually ingesting them. And that's the fun of it. I mean, I really try to embody my tagline. And one of them is food is art and canning is a way of preserving that art. And I certainly, I mean that when I'm in the kitchen and I'm making something and I want it to be beautiful, not only from, you know, what it looks like when it's being served or the various ingredients in it, but also it comes to the consistency of that particular food item. And so, you know, those of us that make our own relishes, whether it's a pickle relish or a corn relish, the last thing we want is to have something super runny. You know, just a couple tablespoons of canning gel in my corn relish is what gives it that thickness. It's not too thick, but it certainly isn't runny. And to me, that is beautiful. So it's all in that presentation. My grandma was a huge one for always saying, you know, it's all about presentation. And so that is where natural thickening agents come in. Nobody wants a jam or jelly that's uber runny, unless, of course, you really want it to be a syrup that you're maybe using as a syrup. So a lot of fun things to be had in this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next time because I'm going to be focusing on how to create your canning calendar. It is very important, no matter where you live, but especially for me, I live in Michigan, so my growing season is very short. I have to maximize my time, not to mention I'm a busy individual. I'm a mother. I also, you know, am a business owner. I do a lot of canning and gardening. I have to fit into my busy lifestyle when I'm going to be able to harvest the food and then preserve the food. All right, everyone, I'm going to be signing off. I look forward to tuning in next time. And remember, from the garden to the jar.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Canning with the Diva. For tips, recipes, and techniques, please visit us online at canningdiva.com.